you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ozzie Guillen.
That was White Sox baseball.
White Sox pre and post analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
La Pantera. My main is La Pantera. La Pantera. La Pantera. No. Pantera.
La Pantera.
There we go.
2000 World Series winning manager for the White Sox.
Tying run at second. Two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
No hold bar baseball opinion.
You want to hear here's the truth, a fact, funny, sad, upset, whatever it is. There's nothing, we're not going to lie. We're not going to try to win rating about talking about the ball club. And hey, but what it is they like it, they do it. They don't like it, play better.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Ozzie Guillen. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. And Ozzie is brought to us by Four Winds Resort and Casino. Four Winds Casinos in New Buffalo and South Bend, your entertainment escape. Good morning, Ozzie. How are you?
I hope I do it better than you guys do better than me after last night's game. really, you know, I think we wasting in our show, we wasting front ton of talent. You know, we just sitting there, we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do. We want to do a lot better with some ideas we have, some stuff. But at a game like this, you just get mute. You just don't know what to say, what to tell people, how bad or how good they can be, because we've seen this day in and day out. And that's the first time, you know what I mean? I don't remember, maybe did it before. I see Steve Storm really writing a note. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, what is this? You know what I mean? Like really? And whoever watched the game last night, it seemed like you watching like, I don't know. I don't think so even independent league can play like that in any level. They just play. They have a horrible game.
Yeah, and listen, they're the worst team in baseball history for a reason. This is a bad baseball team, and certainly that was on display with, of all people, Aloy up to bat and the pop up, and you know, I thought Miguel Vargas, he was like the centerpiece of whatever trade they were made. He was the only guy that they brought in that was supposed to be able to play or was going to line up for them. And that's got to be Benintendi's call, right? I mean, it's his play. I don't understand what happened, how it happened, or it's like buffoonery. It's just ridiculous.
Well, one thing you work in spin training is that. You go through the big league, you should know that. We put the replay a little bit. Yeah, I want to see a better look at it. As a fly ball, all this on the shortstop, Amayas went out and called the ball right away. He called it. Okay, as soon as the shortstop called that ball, the third base don't have anything to do around that ball. Then, if the left field called that ball, all the song, everybody got to get off and get out of the way. And that's what they did. I think Benintendi called the ball. But in the end of the day, they make the wrong plays. One guy got hurt. 10 guys, he wasn't, you know, maybe it's a bruised eyes, nothing broke. But it was like a play people should be made. But I think Benintendi did the right thing. The shortstop Maya did the right thing. And Vargas maybe not hear anybody. Maybe that's what I think. But that's not Vargas' ball for any reason. It was Vargas' ball.
Ozzy, you're still doing a pretty entertaining and insightful job, you and Frank and Chuck. So I hope you continue to talk about games that are, even though they leave you speechless. Last night, though, couldn't get past the reference to you wanted to punch Hunter Wendelstedt in the face and the fact that he threw you out of a game before. What do you remember about that? Because that was he put himself in the middle of everything last night. You don't like to talk about the umpires, but it was part of the story.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because he missed a lot of pitch. He did. And I was telling Frank, I said, man, that surprised me. Nobody in baseball, not just the White Sox, baseball, when the umpire making any call, whatever it is, it's few people get upset. So I see umpires strike out people, and they walk back to the dugout like nothing happened. He missed a couple calls, and to greet Sizemore the way he did, he just, it was wrong. The umpire was wrong. It's so many people you can fight for, okay? JD or PK, they turn around to the umpire, look at it. I know that ball wasn't strike. Is AJ do it? You got doubts in your mind because AJ always like, hey, what's going on with that pitch? But when this guy did it, Benintendi never said anything. He's a very professional, one of my favorite professional guys out there. Obviously, it was a strike. Then when he talked back to Sizemore, that's what he clicked. I said, why you talk back to the guy when you're wrong? I think it was the first guy in the history called me. He's the first guy kicked me out of the game. And I was arguing at second base. I turned to dugout, and I didn't hear somebody say something. When I got to the dugout, Mark Burley told me, he just kicked you out of the game. I said, why? Then we started arguing about it, and I remember his dad being great umpire. But I think not because you have a few years in the big league, okay? You have to earn respect the manager. I don't care the manager got 2 hours in the big league. And the way he acts, Major League Baseball has to look at it, the way he acts, and he called him names back, that's not a professional, that's not the way to do it, that's not the way you should be doing. And I think Wendelstedt was very wrong.
Ozzy, we haven't really spent as much time on the White Sox as we usually would because of the way the season has gone and everything that's happened. But I was really disappointed to read that Drew Thorpe is going to have season-ending surgery to remove a bone spur from his elbow. I think that's it's either later this week or early next week. And he was the player, the main player they got when they traded Dylan Cease to the Padres. And we know that he had been with the Yankees, was part of the Soto trade, and then he's traded to the White Sox. And we thought he looked pretty good when we saw him. And I guess this won't impact whether he's ready for spring training, but it's just, kind of a big deal that a player has season-ending surgery. I'm just curious, they brought up Jero Iriarte, who also was involved in that deal. Is it wise to bring up players to this situation? Like Nick Nastrini did not have a very good outing yesterday. I just don't know how to feel about trying to close out the season if there's any value in guys coming up and playing given what's going on around them.
It's kind of hard because, by the way, I love Iriarte.
Uh-huh.
I think Iriarte, I don't know if he's going to be a starter. I don't know how smart he can be to be a starter because he's kind of like Pedro Martinez style, not like Pedro, obviously. He got good changeup, a very good fastball, good slider, but I think this kid still had the process because he had a lot of problems finding the strike zone in the minor leagues. But his arm is a big league arm, no doubt about it. With Thorpe, I think, when you have those type of surgery, back in the days, you out for a long time. Nowadays, medicine is so good, everything is so great. Mm-hmm. He could be out for maybe, obviously for teaser, but I think he should be ready right away because they're not doing much. Before, they used to be cut your arm, do all kind of thing. Nowadays, surgery is very easy for them. and don't worry about it. But it's just the guys you bring back for the big trades, when you involve Vargas, I remember when they talked to about Vargas, he's supposed to be the middle lineup guy. The guy can bring a lot of great things. I don't see that right now. You don't have a position, first of all. You don't have a position. You play the field, play third base, little bit of first base. You know, I don't think he have a position. I think he's a great utility guy, can play different position, but I don't think this guy is going to be in the middle of the lineup. No chance. When he was with the Dodgers, he was in the middle of the lineup. He was down the 7-8 spot. But it's a lot of, you know, those guys got away. I was talking with a friend last night. I say, if I was Chris Getz, obviously, I don't want it to be Chris Getz because I cannot be a general manager. It's one thing I never will do in baseball. I said, you know what? I bring all the kids next year, all the kids, whoever is a prospect playing the big league, a real put a team together for the future. Not like pick and piece here, pick and piece there. All the kids, Montgomery, whoever I thought is going to be is a prospect, is in the big league. And we're going to lose 100 games a game with those kids on the field. That's how you start doing that, like the way Baltimore did. You know, they put the talent they have in the minor league, they put in the big league, they let them suffer for a year, year and a half, 2 years. All of a sudden, they create all those kids, put it together. But, you know, bring pieces. Like, once, you know, let's bring this kid, it's a prospect. No workout, just bring it back. Just bring all these kids that think they can play in the big league and see. Let there and make him grow up in the big league. That's what I think. I might be wrong, but I just told Frank, that's a good idea because piece by piece, they ain't not going to make it. I want to see those kids together. Next year, okay, we're going to lose on the games again? Yes, but we're going to see the future of the White Sox. We're not going to see people like maybe. No, just bring those kids and see what happens. I will take a chance to lose 100 games next year again. With the talent, they're going to save this organization in the future. And I think that's the only way they can do it right away because the only way you do it is trade people. And when they go to trade people, they don't go to trade big league players. They're going to give you prospects, okay? And I don't think in a free agency, I don't think Jerry should spend that money when the base of the ball club is not good enough in the big league yet. And this is why when you bring a guy, you sign a big contract, and you know you're going to lose, you might not lose 150, but you're going to lose 90, 98, you're not going to make the playoff, then why are you going to spend your money with no reason? And I think that's exactly the player development, whoever's down the minor league. I have a question. What is the Ramos? Ramos is on fire in AAA, on fire. What is the Ramos? He might be the third base of the future. What is Ramos at?
He was here for a day. They sent him back.
Yeah, it's just like, you know what I mean? I don't know what they're thinking. I respect what they think because I'm not around. I don't know exactly. I never asked what they think. But Ramos is better third baseman than Vargas. There's no doubt about it. Then why you not let those guys grow up together and move on and hopefully in next year and a half, 2 years, we have a talent. And guys can play in the big league in a few years. Because when you start picking people like here, there, I can't believe it. Right now, we talk about the MVP of the White Sox. Not between us. Who's your MVP? I said, DeJong is still the guy with most home run in the ball club. And he's not in the ball club for last month and a half or like whatever, 15, 20 days. This is embarrassing. This is not good. You see Robert at the plate. I never see Fran Thomas get upset about any player the way he got upset when he see Roberts play. Man, you don't want to be here? What do you want? What are you thinking? His body language is not the right one. You know what I mean? There's so many little things happening in that ball club. I don't think they're going to be any brighter any soon. And watch out. They might not win another game for the rest of the season.
Save the day.
I hope the way they play, I don't think they're going to win another game for the rest of the season.
Save the date, Monday, September 30th, for a special fundraising event benefiting Recon Family Services. Ozzie Guillen will be part of the event to raise funds for mental health, bringing awareness and inspiring others at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, og13.org/golf. Ozzie, why, in that context of everything you just said, would they start Garrett Crochet again? Why would they risk injuring him if he is indeed going to be the major part of their offseason plan in terms of trading him for assets?
I think because they want to see, oh, he start every game. He never miss a start. But I don't think they do anything good. But, well, you know what I mean? Yes, they do. They're protecting them. But you're going to trade it. You think the guys to be traded like, okay, this guy play, he pitched 100, he pitched, he never missed a star last year. But, yeah, he only pitched 2 innings, 3 innings. But in the end of the day, I said Crochet said it right. In the end of the day, you're protecting Crochet, but you're not protecting the rest of the pitching staff or the bullpen. Bullpen is being horrible, but also they got to pitch 4 innings, 5 innings when Crochet start. I don't think that's right, but they have a plan. Plan is they being right now. I think September call up, I shut it down and bring a couple kids from the minor league and I say, listen, good, just stay healthy. Next year we know what we have and move on from there. But I think Crochet should be shut down right now. To pitch 1 inning, 2 innings, what's the reason? Why are you wasting time and wasting pitchers out of the bullpen to carry that load for 6-7 innings every 5 days?
What is Oscar Colas' situation? In other words, I know he's on the 40-man. Why does someone not like him? Is there a reason, given how awful they are, that you wouldn't just throw the guy out there? I just don't get it.
Well, it's a funny thing because I thought Pedro Grifol is the one who don't like Colas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we think about it. We don't know because Cole is here for 1 month. He got a couple bad swings. He's out. All of a sudden, this kid was in the lineup. He was in the lineup, starting lineup, when they thought they got to win the World Series. All of a sudden, they lost 120 games, whatever it is, and this kid's still in the minor league thing. What's the situation with that kid? I think this kid, I don't know exactly. I don't see Fletcher enough. I don't want to compare each one, but I see Colas with better bat than Fletcher does. Maybe not in the outfield. Fletcher's pretty good outfield, but I think Colas is a better hitter. What I see in the big league level, I never, you know, Fletcher, you know, had enough at bat for me to judge him. But I think Colas should be out here. You know, I mean, he's just something you told. Montgomery had a very tough year in AAA. I will put this kid at third base right now and say, come on, go suffer in the big league. I want to see exactly how you look in the big league. And you know, I mean, they only call a couple guys. It's not, you know, I mean, I think it's a rule. You cannot call up so many people. But I'm very excited about, you know, I mean, this kid's arm yesterday, he told the ball very good. I like him. But I don't know. This kid got a type of setup man stuff to stand in the big league. To stand in big league, I let him grow up in the bullpen, then I put him in the rotation later on in his career.
All right, now it's time for Ozzie's Outlook. It's brought to you by Four Winds Resort and Casino. You got the Cubs winning against the Pirates in the third game of that series. They've already lost the series, and I dare I ask, if the Sox are going to win, I don't think they're going to win another game, I think you said.
No, you know what, they lose the money. Well, you were smart. You're going to bet against the White Sox because every bet, if they win, you're going to make a lot of money. I think the Cubs will win today because after lose two games, it's kind of hard to sweep at home.
All right.
And I think Cubs win and the White Sox, no chance.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Ozzie. Great catching up with you.
Hang in there, Oz.
Quick talk about White Sox. You guys are going to have a bad day.
True enough. All right, right now, we're going to give something away. Be caller number 4 to the Scores contest line. That's 312-540-0670. You're going to win a $250 gift card to Four Winds Resort and Casino. Four Winds Casinos in New Buffalo and South Bend, your entertainment escape. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
I got three rules, right? Be on time, work hard, and respect. Three rules.
Yes, sir.
Not real hard.
Yes, sir.
All right, baby.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. That, of course, the voice of Matt Eberflus explaining his three rules. And it is, it's been a real successful, I would say, hard knocks for the Bears. I don't know how that translates once the season starts, but the reality is that there are a lot of people that have been following this team and a lot of people from around the NFL that seem to have thoughts about the Bears because of their little trip on Hard Knocks. So it worked out for them, I think, all the way around. It has been a pretty successful way to look at how the Bears have prepared for this season.
Even without HBO, I think there would have been a lot of intrigue around the Bears season. I think Caleb Williams offers the it factor that intrigues the entire league. Everybody wants to see what all the hype is about. And I also think there's a curiosity, not just the hype, but the to see if the skills can translate from if they carry over from college to pro. And if they can, then people understand that they're going to be watching something very special. The one thing that is going to be a source of conversation, I think Dan Weider referred to it yesterday when he was hosted with Matt Spiegel, is that how are we going to evaluate Caleb Williams? And I think it's a good question. Everyone's going to have different statistical values that they want to attach to what makes for a good rookie season for Caleb. And I think that's okay. I don't think I'm going to do that because I don't think that it's always indicative of progress or maybe indicative of the lack of progress. What you do is sometimes you trust your own eyes. With Justin Fields, it was that. It was one of those things where I don't feel like when people were getting carried away, I don't remember getting carried away. And I'm certainly, if we have the tape, I'm sure we'll go back and check. But I think it was always hard to see, for me, just speaking for myself, it's hard for me to see what some other people saw in Justin Fields, the passer. Mm-hmm. And I'm only using that as a reference because I don't want to always be the comparing one to the other because I don't think it's fair and I don't think it's really terribly interesting. But I think with Caleb Williams, the one thing that everyone's going to have to determine is what criteria they establish for themselves and will he pass the eye test?
That's interesting.
You know what you're seeing when you see it. You know, and we kidded about, you know, earlier, like Caleb Williams, and I think I compared him to Paul Skeens. You know, I went out to Wrigley Field last night.
Yes.
I went into the radio booth, and those guys were, I saw Zach and Ron and Espo, and they were like, well, what brought you? Why did you come here? And Coom asked me that. And I said, greatness. And they all laughed, and like, I wanted to see what Paul Skeens looked like in person.
Yes.
And I think that when you were talking about Caleb Williams this season, we're anticipating Sunday, it's the same thing.
Hmm.
You'll know it when you see it.
Do you think that that greatness will be on display starting Sunday for Caleb Williams, or do you think it's going to be more of a kind of slower kind of approach to it?
I think you'll see glimpses of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can fairly expect it to be consistent yet. But I think that's what I mean in terms of establish your own criteria. There's not, no two interpretations are going to be alike.
Yeah.
And different people will say, well, you know, he overthrew Cole Kmet on third down. How's that great? Any rookie could do that. But what you want to avoid is writing him off because of those glimpses. So you'll see, you know, again, you just go to the small sample size that we have to refer to. Three and outs in the last preseason game that we saw him. And then he was allowed to stay in the game, and all anybody is talking about after that was the throw across his body, the scramble for a touchdown, and the touchdown that wasn't because of the way that he threw a bullet to Roma Dunze. So those glimpses carry you into the season, and you quickly forget the three and outs. There's going to be adversity. There are going to be bumps. He's a rookie still.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see enough glimpses to think that greatness is possible. Greatness is sustainable. And I think that's going to be the rule more than the exception eventually.
Yeah, I am fascinated to watch this game because I think, David, that we are going to see so much more than we did during the preseason. I'm not even sure we saw any kind of sustained running game at all. And I don't even know if there is a sustained running game, but I'll be very curious to see if the Bears are capable of sort of moving the chains, playing offense in a way other than being reliant upon big plays down the field. And I think it's a build-up type of thing.
The biggest unknown of the preseason.
Yeah.
We don't know what kind of run emphasis this offense will have with Waldron.
No idea.
We don't know how effective they will be if they choose to emphasize the run with Shane Waldron. We don't know a lot about this offensive line other than it is going to include a new center. It's going to have, you know, the other components are guys that we have seen have pretty good success before when healthy. If healthy, they should be able to run the football. DeAndre Swift is the most overlooked Bear of the preseason.
Oh, wasn't there.
Well, he wasn't.
Didn't see much of him.
We didn't see much of him. We certainly, and I don't mean that just like on the field when we were watching games. He was almost overlooked by the Hard Knocks cast. Oh. Like he had a George McCaskey agreement. Don't include me.
Was but DeAndre even Swift, in it? Honestly,
I don't remember
him being interviewed.
I don't remember
at all.
Having a speaking part.
Oh,
I don't remember him speaking at all.
No,
but he's a guy that could be a big factor. As big a factor as anybody in this offense, if they're able to sustain a running game. If he's a 1,000 to 1,200 yard rusher, what does that mean in the context of everything else? Because we talk about Caleb Williams and what we expect and where we're going to put the bar. It will be much easier for him to clear it if he has an effective running game. That goes without saying. That's understandable. That's true for every quarterback in the league. I just don't know where DeAndre Swift fits in, but I do think he's going to play a prominent role and has been as overlooked as any Bear.
Let's try Steve. Steve is listening on the Odyssey app. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. Great listening to your show here. Question I pose is, Caleb Williams, you know, we know what he's done the last couple of years playing against other players that are within a year of his age range in college. How is he really going to be able to compare and to perform when he's playing against seasoned pros of 10, 15 years? These are not guys his age that, you know, with the same maturity level and the same experience level as him. These are guys that have been here for a while. What do you think is going to happen? How do you think that's going to actually affect them?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to affect him at all. And I think that he seems, considering that he's a young lad, he seems very mature for his age. And I would say he's been like an exceptional kind of quarterback building to this moment for pretty much most of his life.
He's prepared for this moment since he was a teenager, maybe younger.
Yeah.
He's made for this.
Yeah. This is his deal.
He is ideal in terms of the skill set, on the field, in terms of his people skill set off of it, he's a very savvy communicator. I think that helps him relate to teammates. We saw him voted a captain. Whether or not that's legit or not, I think it's understandable. C.J. Stroud was a captain last year. Mm-hmm. You understand why Caleb Williams would be this year. But I don't know that he's going to be phased by facing veterans who have more experience than he is. If anything, what's going to get him, what's going to take a while to adjust to, is what Dave Wanstead referenced yesterday on the program. The speed of the game is something that's difficult to simulate in practice and preseason. So the speed of the game may be something that Caleb Williams has to recalibrate in terms of how he processes information quickly, coverages, or the pocket collapsing or whatever. But once he does that, the skill set is there. I think he has enough skills that we have seen already to make those kinds of concerns, Steve, kind of moot points.
Yeah. I think that we kind of know what's expected of Caleb Williams. I feel comfortable in what the expectations are for him. I mean, we've tried to temper them a little bit. But the reality is that he is going to be the starting quarterback. He's going to go out there. You want to see him have these big moments. You know, we talked about, we kept playing the Ryan Poles comment about the special. But the special would be, you know, we know the times where you're expected to be able, you know, before the half, definitely in the fourth quarter. These are the times of the game. And hopefully the game is already determined by then. But these are the times that you usually see the best players on the field make their impact. Or these are the times where you are expected to be able to make your impact. It's that simple.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at the statistic that you referenced earlier, the 0-0-14-1 for number one overall quarterbacks in their debut, it doesn't really apply to this year. Every situation is different. Every example has a story behind it. And this year's example, Caleb Williams starting for the Bears, making his debut as a starter, it is the first time a quarterback drafted first overall has come into a situation like this.
Yeah.
With a defense that's already proven,
established,
with a wide receiving core that's among the top five in the NFL, and with an offensive line that is good enough to protect him, or should be, provided that they stay healthy, are in one piece. So this is very different than other openers, and that's why I don't think that stat applies in this season.
And you know, we haven't really talked about the fact that, and maybe it's because of the way, not only do they have a running game, but they have multiple running backs that should be able to help them in that running game. Not only do they have a passing game, but they got not just receivers, but tight ends that should be able to help them in that passing game. Not one tight end, but two tight ends. There are a lot of weapons that we haven't seen, and it'll be, you know, one of the curious things will be how the ball is distributed, who he's most comfortable throwing to and in what situations. And, you know, are you gonna throw the ball on early downs, run the ball? These are all the little things that we will be monitoring about the new offense. There's just a lot to learn about this team, including, I would say, the identity of the team. What is their money play? What is it that they're going to do? I hope they're throwing the ball all over the
field. Well, I think there's more curiosity, or at least as much, about Shane Waldron as there is about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is, I think, the anticipation feels more like excitement.
Yes.
With Shane Waldron, the anticipation is more related to curiosity.
Yes.
And the unknowns.
I agree. Yeah. It's going to be fun. I mean, this should be we should be in here on Monday, like, really with some meat on the bone and
no
some
doubt
stuff
about it.
To talk about.
And we can overreact accordingly.
Yeah, we will overreact.
And so Texter,
but you got to remember that, too, that not to overreact.
Texter points out that DeAndre Swift was the one, 815, who went up to Caleb and told him, this is your team, you got to drive the car. I think that is one of the things that DeAndre Swift. Okay. Another Texter says, 773, David, you are so full of it.
About what?
I think I have to be more specific.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of things you could point to this morning that I'd be full of it.
I think optimism for a football season. And now's the time to be so. You know who else is full of optimism? Chris Chelios.
He always is.
Yes. And we're going to talk to him next about what will be a fun football season. Please God. Mully and On the Score.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score! BetMGM ambassador. The king of sportsbooks.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chris Chelios joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Chris, of course, is a BetMGM ambassador. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
Yeah, we are getting pumped up because finally we have the football season upon us. Mercifully, the Sox season seems to be ending. I wish the Cubs were doing better, Chris, but all in all, it's going to be fun to get some football going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a betting the house on the Bears. It's hopefully this is a game with all the hype and all the excitement. They'll come out fired up and smoke Tennessee, hopefully.
Do you feel they look like a playoff team to you? You've watched tons of football in your life. Is this a different vibe than you're used to?
Well, the vibe for sure. They're acting like that. The exhibition was great. Hopefully it carries over the confidence and the swagger that they got right now. But it goes a long way. Like you said, even though it doesn't matter, an exhibition, it could carry over into the regular season. So, yeah, I mean, they're taking them, what, for 8.5 wins? I think that's realistic. And, you know, depending on how they do against their divisional teams, you know, they'll be right there.
How was Pearl Jam?
Oh, the weather, everything about it was amazing. You know, Thursday was great. Saturday, just more energy on the weekends, and it was beautiful.
You went both nights? You went both of them?
Of course. Yeah, if I hadn't had to work this week, I'd be in New York right now going to those two shows also. But we still got Fenway left. We got Maryland, Philly, so we'll see what happens.
Wow. Boy, that's unbelievable. I mean, that's a lot of Pearl Jam, right?
Yeah, you just got to think. They don't really tour a whole lot in the U.S. sometimes, and it can go a couple of years without doing it. So you take it when you can get it. But, no, Eddie put on a hell of a show with the rest of the guys, and there wasn't a person that left disappointed. It was just a beautiful night. And Wrigley, obviously, a special place to watch concerts, too.
Will you be at Soldier Field on Sunday? And what are your realistic expectations for Caleb Williams?
I mean, just listening, like I said, we talked about listening to the coaches, trying not to put all the burden on him and make it easy on him. But, again, if you get behind, then he's going to have to do things on his own and use that skill that everybody keeps talking about. And like I said, it just dictates how the defense plays and what the score is. But I expect them to be pretty, you know, just take it easy with them, make some simple plays. And then all of a sudden, hopefully he'll hit that long pass. He's got the receivers now. And I really do believe they're going to smoke these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are feeling pretty good about what they've seen in the build-up to it. I think that the Hard Knocks thing went better than I thought it would, frankly. You know, I don't know what I was expecting, but I thought they came across looking quite professional all the way around, and I'm not sure that we could say that every year that we've been around that team.
Yeah. But, like, again, coaching, I just hope they don't go out there and play conservative. You know, it's like going to Vegas. You don't go to Vegas to not lose. You go to win. So hopefully they'll you know, give them a little bit of leeway and use that skill.
Did you enjoy Hard Knocks, Chelly? Did you watch it every
episode? Honestly, we talked about it. I did not watch it last week. I'm planning to watch it, but I have not watched it, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, it's the kind of thing where you feel like, hey, this is pretty good. You can go back and look at it, but it's not like you need it to follow what's happening with the team, right?
Yeah, well, I've lived it, so I see what's going on in the dressing room. But like you said, I'll watch it, and we can talk about it next week. How's that?
Okay, that's great. How about college football? You see any college football you liked over the weekend?
Well, Wisconsin, you know, they won. They had an easy game against Western Michigan. Michigan barely got by a terrible team. I hate Michigan. I pay attention to the Big Ten. So
why do you hate Michigan?
Jim
Harbaugh, mostly.
Wow.
Like rivalry, yeah. That kind of thing, right?
Yes. Yeah, they think they're a little better than everybody. I don't know if you've ever been to a game there, whether it was hockey or football. Those students are a little bit arrogant and, you know, stuck up, think they're, you know what, don't stink. So
no one
likes Michigan.
Did you and Harbaugh ever cross paths when you were in Chicago at the same time? Did you ever have any overlap there?
Oh, that's so funny.
We did. We were friendly. All of a sudden, he had a little success in Stanford there, and then he translated into the NFL, and he became this weird guy and likes attention. I think I've always mentioned he was like the male version of a Kardashian. So,
oh, Charlie, no.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
man.
True, yeah.
So,
I love his brother.
Oh, there you go.
You know,
so, Chris, yeah, I'm just curious. When you talk about you don't like Michigan, but you did watch the Big Ten, what'd you think of USC?
I didn't follow them, quite honestly.
They're Big Ten.
Yeah, well, they keep changing the teams in the Big Ten. So is Maryland. So, I can't keep up with all that. The original Big Ten.
Tell you, you're going to be really disappointed when Harbaugh wins NFL Coach of the Year.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God, make me sick. Let's talk about something good. How about this weekend? The Yankees are coming.
Yeah.
So that'll be a great weekend. And then I think they're honoring Kerry Wood's going to get in the Hall of Fame. That's congratulations to him and his family.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
That's Sunday, Bears opener. Also, yeah. Anthony Rizzo makes his first return since they traded him with the Yankees on Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I'm going to catch half the Bears game and then run over to Wrigley Field. That's the plan. So
that's cool.
I want to see that. Yeah. So, and then it just makes me sick. You talk about Riz, and then I watched Schwarber hit 3 home runs yesterday.
That
those guys aren't still Cubs. That's kind of disheartening.
Especially Schwarber. No doubt about it.
Yep.
Chris,
he's a fan favorite, that's for sure.
You're the best. Thanks so much. Good fun.
Thanks, Shelly.
All right, guys. Thanks. Take care.
Go Texas? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
I like Michigan.
Yeah, I know. My wife went
I
to
can
Michigan.
Like Michigan and Notre Dame, Dustin.
No, you can't. And I like Chris Chelios even more than I did before the segment started.
I love Chris Chelios, but I also
like
Michigan.
He likes the right Harbaugh brother.
I like both Harbaugh brothers.
Dustin's tough business. That's all there is to it. It's Mully. He's just a Notre Dame guy through and through.
Yeah.
No other team matters, right? Is that it, Dustin? If it's not Notre Dame, then it's not happening for you? I think that's the answer. Mully and Haw, we've got, we got Tommy. Tommy Hotovy's going to join us next. We'll get a chance to talk about Justin Steele and the Cubs. Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's not just another day. It's today.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.